Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
You're doing great, Pat. Just one more hour left, kid.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
First of all, I want to say a big welcome to all of you listening in Tucson, Arizona. We're so happy to have you here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All of our new listeners on Relevant Radio's 104.9 FM station. And if you have family or friends in the Tucson area, please be sure to tell them all about Relevant Radio on 104.9 FM. Now, that ties in with an email that I just received. Where did it go? Oh, it's down here. Here we go. This is from Gail. And she says, I am very excited that Relevant Radio now has a station in Tucson. My brother, who lives there, has left our beautiful faith for a feel-good country club that he calls a church. I have asked him a couple of times why he left. Both times he got mad and gave me a flared "just because" reply. I'm giving him a copy of Surprised by Truth and would like to include an Arizona station bumper sticker. How do I get one? Easy. Gail, easy. And it's so nice of you to be looking after your brother this way.
Where awesome. Am I supposed to get it?
Stand by, young man. Go to relevantradio.com. And there you will see in the navigation bar the word support. Just click that and you'll have a drop-down menu. You want to go down to request a bumper sticker. So when you go there, what you'll do is you'll put in, like, you know, where is the city that you want to have the bumper sticker for. And then you press that and they'll send it to you. So the first one that pops up is Arizona. So it's already pre-populated, and let them know it's Tucson. And just put that in there and we will send you two bumper stickers. So if he's not going to Mass anymore and he's kind of irked that you asked him, I wonder if he would even put a bumper sticker on his car. But what the heck? Send him the bumper sticker when you send him the book, because maybe he'll say, what's that? And he'll start listening. And then you know what will happen, as these things usually do, Gail. 6 months from now, he's going to call you up and say, sister of mine, thank you so much, because I was away from the church and I thought I was on the right road and I started listening to Relevant Radio and now I'm back. That happens more frequently than you might imagine. So we'll all say a prayer that that works. Thanks, Gail. Appreciate that. And again, thank you for looking after your brother that way. Let's go to Spencer now in Denver. Hi, Spencer.
Hello, Patrick.
Hello. Welcome.
Thanks. So I grew up in a Protestant family, and I was really adverse to the Catholic Church, but I began to look more into him, and I realized I had a lot of misconceptions. Mm-hmm. And now I actually really want to join the Catholic Church, but my family is really pretty adverse to it. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of a dilemma of your family or joining the church, like which one?
Mm-hmm. So they're the ones who are opposing you from wanting to explore further, is that right?
Yeah, mainly my mom.
Yeah. You know, as you say that, I'm reminded of a friend of mine. His name is Tim Staples. He works at Catholic Answers. And the reason I say that is because he was raised in a very staunch Assemblies of God family. He grew up in Virginia. And they might have been Baptist before they were Assemblies of God, but they were definitely, I guess you could say, anti-Catholic. And he went to Jimmy Swaggart Bible College. And where is that? Is it Shreveport or Baton Rouge, one of those places? And so he went there and he got really deeply into the anti-Catholic stuff that they teach there. So much so that when he was in the Marine Corps, he made it his project, his science experiment, to try to convert this Catholic Marine who was in his platoon, I guess, and try to hammer him with all of his Bible verses in opposition to the Catholic Church. Well, he didn't know that the Catholic guy was very well versed in scripture. And long story short, what happened is, as Tim Staples describes in his chapter in that book, Surprised by Truth, he says, the Bible made me do it. Eventually, he realized that he was on the wrong side of the Bible, and his Catholic fellow Marine was showing him little by little what it meant to be a true follower of Jesus. And so Tim wound up becoming Catholic And he's a wonderful, very effective evangelist and has been for many years. Thanks be to God. So it all started with him having to reverse course on his anti-Catholic sensibilities. But here's why I'm bringing him up. Because imagine what it was like around the dinner table when he was talking to his mom and dad and brother and maybe some other family members about why he was becoming Catholic. You can imagine the consternation that that engendered in his family members, and it did. But what happened is he patiently and persistently shared with them the things that he was learning, and his father converted to the Catholic faith, his mother converted to the Catholic faith, his brother converted to the Catholic faith. In fact, his brother discovered he had a vocation to the priesthood, so he went on to serve the church as a priest. And this was in a Catholic, or I'm sorry, this was in a family that was deeply anti-Catholic. So I raise this to give you a sense of encouragement that even though you may see that this looks like a real long shot, don't worry about it. And if your mom opposes it and people are giving you hassle, don't worry about it. Just keep exploring, keep listening to Relevant Radio. Maybe read that book I mentioned a minute ago, Surprised by Truth. You'll read Tim Staples' story and 10 others as well. Listen to Scott Hahn audios. Read his books. There are just lots of good resources out there for you as you make the journey to explore and find out more. And I'm always here for you, so please never hesitate to call if you have a question. That would be my advice. Now, I would bring him back on the air, but I think his call dropped. So my apologies about that. I hope that's helpful to you. Let's go now to Sarah in Omaha. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi there.
I just had a question about homeschooling programs, and a little background would be, currently, unfortunately, my husband and I don't really agree on schooling, and he would like the kids to go to public schools, and I'm hoping to avoid that. I actually teach for a classical mm-hmm. school, a Catholic classical school. And I like that structure, and I think that it's really beneficial for children. But I'm hoping to maybe compromise on asking him if he would be open to letting me stay home mm-hmm. and homeschool. Okay. As a compromise, maybe using a public homeschool curriculum. And I know you had mentioned a K-12 mm-hmm. in the past as a good program that was offered by the public school. And I had tried looking for it, but I don't know if I'm finding the right site. I think you said it was a free program. Your thoughts on how does it operate? Is it like an online school, or is it, do you receive materials and lesson plans for yourself, or like, are the kids having me on the computer?
And are you talking about K-12 specifically, or a different program?
I was wondering about K-12 specifically, just as maybe that would be a compromise where if I could teach it and stay home, but use a public school curriculum that he might feel more comfortable with instead of using something that's religious based. And I could bring in maybe my own faith curriculum. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to supplement.
But he might feel more comfortable if I wasn't using textbooks that were made by a Catholic company or something.
Is your husband Catholic?
He is, but he's pretty vehemently not practicing right now.
Okay. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to work on that, but it's a really slow process. So
got it. Okay. Well, the homeschool supplement, it could be used as a supplement, or it could be used as the mainstay or the curriculum itself. The one I would recommend to you is Seton Home Study, and their website is setonhome.org, S-E-T-O-N, home.org, named after St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And they have a very scalable and flexible program that can go all the way to the complete curriculum, or if you wanted to make use of some of the elements of their curricula and then weave that into a different program, you can do that. My wife did that for many years when she was homeschooling. Now, at least with regard to our experience with K-12, which was started by William Bennett, the former Secretary of Education, it was a very good program. To my knowledge, still is doing extremely well. We just haven't really looked at it for many years. But k12.com is the website. And that is it's a secular, what's the word I want? I don't know if the technical term is a charter school, but it is an accredited public school that is done online. And so the government, whether state and federal, they recognize it as such. It's not religious in nature, but it is very friendly to Christianity. And it certainly does not include the kinds of crazy things that are seen more and more now in the public school system, things that will harm your kids. You won't find those things in K-12. The thing about it is that it uses your tax dollars to make this program. When you think of it as free, it's free in the sense that you've already paid your taxes for the school districts and things. So their legal standing permits them to receive your tax money for this program, because it's not a religious school. It's not a parochial school. And so when you enroll your children, the UPS truck's going to roll up in your driveway a week or two before school and disgorge a computer and a monitor and a printer and all the textbooks and all the art supplies and everything else that's necessary for your child to do the K-12 program. You're going to get all of that, quote unquote, for free. You've already paid for it with your tax dollars, but you don't pay anything more. So if you want to thread the needle with your husband so that you have a program that is truly secular, but not secular in the bad sense of the word, and so that you can supplement that with the good things that Seton has, all of which are good, of course, that sounds to me like it might be a great first step. And who knows, maybe over time you could transition entirely over to Seton, but at least you can have the best of both worlds in the meantime. Is that what you're looking for, okay, Sarah?
Yeah, basically. I am curious, though, if it's an online program, is it better for older students? Or, I mean, my daughter would be only 5, so she's at a kindergarten level, so I didn't know if they have material for the younger students.
Well, so Colby Academy. Let me give you an example here. Colby Academy, another great Catholic homeschool organization. If you go to their website, they're, by the way, located, I believe they're based in Northern California, colby.org, K-O-L-B-E.org. You can go through there and look at all the things that they have available. I'm on their website right now, and there's quite a bit there, the course catalog, the bookstore. If you want to ask questions and such, these are all things that are available at Colby Academy, colby.org, and it's named after St. Maximilian Colby, K-O-L-B-E. So That would be my advice. So go to colby.org, take a look, browse through, and see how that might work for you. And of course, you can call them, and I think there's even a chat function on their website so that you could chat with somebody in real time. Those are all the things that I would recommend. So, okay, I hope that's helpful to you. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. Colby.org, by the way, for those who are wondering. Let's go to Emily now in Orange County, California. Hi, Emily.
Hi there. It's so rare for me to be able to call you and be free at this time of the morning. You had a conversation several weeks ago that I heard on the replay about kneeling during the Agnus Dei, or kneeling after the Our Father and after the consecration. And you were saying that you don't need to kneel then because Jesus is already present on the altar, and even though the priest is opening the tabernacle. And my comment was, we believe that our bishop asked us to do that because it gets people out of the social mode of the sign of peace, but also because when we do the Agnus Dei, we're offering prayer to God. And we want, as a congregation, to be kneeling when we do that.
Okay. You have no argument for me.
Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah, most dioceses, though, don't have that requirement given by the bishop. I didn't realize that was the case there. Fair enough. He has the authority to do that, of course.
I don't believe it was a requirement, but it was a strong suggestion that I would prefer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine.
You know, that
that's fine.
He would prefer that. So that was just to clarify, that's why we're doing it. When I first came into the church and I saw some people are trying to greet and other people are suddenly back on their knees, I thought, what are they? They're strange, you know, or they're mm-hmm. hyper pious or something. Yeah. And then when somebody explained to me that's what the bishop had preferred or suggested, I thought, you know, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, no, I understand the point. I have not seen that done. Now, I grew up in Orange County myself, but of course that was long ago mm-hmm. before Bishop Vann's mm-hmm. time. But in my travels around the country, and I even see it, you know, in the Diocese of Columbus where I reside, there are some people, and God bless them, they're seeking to show reverence to the Lord, but there is no directive or preference from the bishop. There is no, you know, trying to cut down on all the socializing that sometimes happens during the sign of peace, which let's take a look at COVID. And since COVID, that has largely stopped, thankfully. And now the sign of peace is much more muted than it used to be. But in any case, my comment, Emily, was not directed to you or, you know, to the specific circumstances in your diocese, but rather the general misimpression that I think some people have that when the tabernacle door opens, they should kneel out of reverence for Jesus, which is always a good thing, but without realizing that Jesus has been present on the altar in front of them as they've been standing already. That was the point I was trying to make. Does that make sense?
Right, right. I understand that. I just needed to say that. I needed to interact. And may I say one more thing?
Sure, yeah.
I really appreciated your story and your interaction with Dr. Walter Martin, because from mm-hmm. the day I became a Christian, I was under his teaching and interacted with him to some degree back in the early 70s. And I really appreciated what you discovered, because I've discovered it listening to your way of answering people on the phone, that there it really was combative. And we as young Christians used to play a game listening to his program of, can you get the answer faster than he can? And it was more answer-oriented than it was person-oriented. And mm-hmm. being a Catholic, we're much more person-oriented. And that is just so comforting, because I think that's what God is.
Oh, you're very kind. And I know you're kind of taking me back, because when I used to listen to Walter Martin, I didn't know about him in the 70s. I only really became familiar with him in the early 80s. And that's when I started mm-hmm. listening to him on the radio. So did you see him at Melody Land, for example? Did you go there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I was there for years.
Yeah, right near Disneyland.
And it was the kind of place you couldn't tell anybody else except people who went there that you went there, because there was so much dissension between the major non-denominational churches that we don't go there.
Right.
So I grew up in a really combative sort of atmosphere as a young Christian. And coming into the Catholic Church has really been an eye-opener about the love of God and personal relationships and what we're really here to do and how that works. It's not just having all the right answers.
Isn't it the truth? Yeah, you're right about that, Emily. Well, good old Walter Martin, I hope you made it to heaven. I really do. I met him about a month before he died suddenly of a heart attack. And mm-hmm. after all mm-hmm. the years of listening to him, I guess you heard my story, but after all those years of listening to him, to have a chance to meet him briefly was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, there happened to be a lot of traffic on the road that night, and I heard the replay, and I heard the whole thing before I got home. So
that's neat.
It was really good.
Well, great chatting with you, Emily. Thank you.
With us.
Thank you so much. I'll be right back right after this. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at CharityMobile.com. Our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help with this year's health insurance open enrollment. They offer individual, couple, and family options to best fit your needs. Before January 15th, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. And I want to read a thoughtful note that came in a little while ago from Lisa, who's a listener in Washington, D.C. She's listening on our 1260 AM station. I hope she's listening right now. But since the note came in, when did it come in? Within the last, within the last hour, I think. Hopefully she is. So first of all, thank you, Lisa, for writing to me. She says, good morning, Patrick. I enjoy listening to your program. I called in some time ago and expressed grave concern over ministers who would advocate the hitting of children. It seemed that we were in agreement, and I expressed that I could not imagine Jesus hitting a child. Today, however, while not directly recommending that parents hit their children, belts, hands, paddles, etc., it certainly sounded as if you were in complete agreement with hitting when justified, and that's in quotation marks. I would very sincerely ask you to clarify your position on the air so that parents will not see you as a trusted authority who advocates that parents hit their children and take your implied comments as a green light to use a belt, paddle, or hand on a vulnerable gift from God. Thank you so much for considering my thoughts. May God bless you. And Cyrus, most sincerely, Lisa. All right, Lisa, thank you. And thanks for the ironic tone that you sent your email in. I'm afraid I'm going to have to disappoint you because although I do agree with you, and I don't remember our conversation, but I can imagine what it must have been like when we talked before, I am in no way an advocate of harming children at all. I mean, or anybody for that matter. I'm not an advocate of excessive use of punishments of whatever type, but I do find there is a place and a time when it's age appropriate for spanking. And if you got the wrong idea or thought that I didn't feel that way, well, I'm happy to have the opportunity to clarify that for you. And I realize that maybe your estimation of me has gone way down, but you asked me to be honest, so I'm being honest. There is indeed, when it's age appropriate, a time and under circumstances when a whack on the bottom is not problematic. And it may, in fact, be necessary for some children. For some children, it's not at all necessary. And it just depends upon the circumstances. So I am opposed to corporal punishment in general, but not entirely opposed to it under certain limited and very restrained circumstances that would never cause any injury, but would be intended to get the child's attention. So I'll leave it at that. And I realize I probably have caused a great disappointment for you, but you did ask me to be honest, which I always am, of course. So there you have it. Thank you. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Carol now in Westchester, PA. Good morning, Carol. Welcome.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call. And bless
you're welcome.
New Year.
Yeah, to you too.
Thank you. My call is regard to Disney. The Disney organization or
right.
Whatever. My children are going down. They're taking their children on a trip down to Disney World the end mm-hmm. of March, and I've been invited to go. I don't know. I know I heard it from Relevant Radio. I'm not sure of which host or commentator, but Disney World, from what I understand right now, is they're a big supporter of Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. Plan, yeah, abortion. Certainly not in favor of that by any means. But
right.
And I would not want to attend Disney World if that is the case. Can you clarify that or give me some information on that?
I think I can. So first thing is, yes, you're right. The Disney organization has gone very hard to the left in recent decades. This is not a recent thing. It's something that's been happening over a long period of time. And there's a great deal that's subtle but still objectionable. one of the things is pushing the gender ideology on kids. And this prescinds from the issue of, like, as an employer, what does this employer do by way of supporting abortion and so on? They do that. But also in their programming, they are subtly and not so subtly trying to inculcate in the minds of these young viewers this idea of gender ideology and the LGBTQ plus agenda as being something good and praiseworthy. So from time to time on this program, I've done segments talking about things. For example, a Disney executive, and I do believe we even played the audio of a Zoom meeting that took place within the last year or so. And she was the VP of programming for some part of the Disney empire. And she was expressing her consternation that there weren't, you know, how come there aren't more gay characters? How come there aren't more trans characters? And we've got to do something about this. And we're going to really juice this thing up and make sure that this is present as often as possible, which I guess means all the time. So for things like that, I think any normal person looking at this, especially parents who want to safeguard their children, are going to have heartburn when they see that Disney is doing this, and then ask the question, do we really want to spend money on going to Disneyland or Disney World? It's a reasonable question. So I can understand why you would not want to go along with that. And what a shame, really, because I remember growing up as a kid, and even as a young parent, taking my children to Disneyland in the 1980s, for example. And when I was a kid, from the 60s on, going to Disneyland, it was great fun, and I always enjoyed it. And I never really thought about the ideological consequences that arose later, but I sure do now. Not to mention that it's like $1 billion to go to Disneyland nowadays. So there's a lot of money involved with it. But I could see why you'd be deeply concerned about it. Have you raised any of those issues with your kids who are the parents now?
Several months ago, or maybe even a year ago, my son and I had discussed that, and he said, it seems like there are we were mainly discussing abortion. And he said, well, it's for children. You would think they would want more children being born instead of less. But that's right. As far as we got. But I was not even, I'm glad I called and you took my call, because I was not even aware of the gender situation, you know, and the LGBT or whatever. I don't even know the initials, but I know what you're referring to. So they're not practicing. They were raised Catholic, all my children, three of them, and I only have three, but they were all raised Catholic, and now none of them are practicing. I'm a great-grandmother, and only only two of them were baptized out of the 12. So, you know, it's the cross I carry, and it's the prayers I always lift up throughout the day, not just daily, not just once, but that's, you know, that's my main concern and things I pray about. Yeah.
Well, your steadfastness, Carol, as a faithful Catholic mom and grandmom, that goes a long way with God, I'm sure. So even though it pains your heart to see how the children and grandchildren have deteriorated, just keep praying and keep being that light for them in their lives. One thing that you might find interesting, and I myself would have to go back and listen to it, Carol, and I do appreciate the phone call, thank you, is I've talked about this before, and if you go to relevantradio.com/Patrick, that's the show page, and in the search bar, just type in the word Disney. I just did that. And it pulls up, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 different episodes of the show where I've talked about Disney. Now, I haven't drilled down to find out what did I talk about exactly, but I do see that on, let's see, it would have been, where did it go? I had it here a second ago. Yeah, so on the September the 6th show, September 6th, 2022, hour 2, the show notes say Patrick shares his thoughts on the direction Disney has gone and gives advice and recommendations for kids who need to be catechized. So I know that in that section, I had commentary about it, if you're interested in going back and listening to it. And I think in all these other instances, you'll find other segments in which I comment on this issue of Disney. So that might be something that you could grab the link and send it to your adult children and say, here's a guy on the radio who is commenting on this. Listen to it first. But that might be of use as well. And who knows, maybe they'll start thinking about things a little differently. Thank you. Let's go to Cynthia now in New Jersey. Good morning, Cynthia. Welcome.
Good morning, Patrick.
Yes, good morning.
I'm very excited to get through because about 3.5 years ago, I placed a call to you and I was a little upset because one daughter and then the next entered the Catholic Church. They were raised in our home. We were were evangelicals and always went to church. And they all, I have three kids, all love Jesus. You know, it was, my husband and I have a great marriage and so on. And so we spoke and this is almost 4 years later. It just prompted me to call because I was listening to the caller before about his mom, who is kind of opposed, but I was that mom. And I mean, I had conversations with them about how wrong the Catholic Church is about so many things and, you know, all the things that you hear from Protestants or evangelicals, which we were. And I was so upset. And literally at night, I would wake up and cry and I'd say, Lord, what did I, where did we go wrong? Where did we go wrong? And then I just got tired of just the arguments and with my now son-in-law, and he, you know, gave him a hard time. And there was just that moment where I was just like tired. I'm like, you know what, Lord, I don't want to ruin the relationship with my kids. So I'll do my homework, but I'm just letting you know, I will never become Catholic. And
yeah, don't get any ideas, God, because I'm not going into the Catholic Church.
Right. And I dove in, I prayed, and I started reading all the earlier church fathers and Rome Sweet Home and your book. And listen to your show, and little by little, my heart just began to soften. And then I started getting all the, I'm like, oh, that's not what the Catholic Church teaches, and got the catechism and started reading that. And I mean, long story short, fell in love with the Catholic Church, fell in love with Mary. I'm getting ready to consecrate, you know, do a consecration to Mary. And
wonderful.
My husband, who's still in an evangelical, he did go through RCIA with me, but he's not quite where I am, but he's softening to it. And my son, who also is, you know, loves Jesus, he actually over Christmas was like, Mom, you know, I'm just really amazed that you went ahead and entered the Catholic Church. Like, I'm really proud of you because I know as a woman, you know, married, that couldn't have been easy. And I had my husband's blessing as well, by the way.
Right.
So just all that to say that God is faithful. And thinking of, I don't know how old that young man was that called in, but if he's a man and not, you know, a child, he's to honor his parents, but at this point doesn't have to obey. Mm-hmm. And it's what God told me, and I went to my husband about it, and I knew that I had to come into the church and be obedient to that, to what the Holy Spirit was telling me.
Yes.
So it's just been, listen, there have been hard times and tears where I'm like, Lord, please reveal the truth to my husband and my son, and yet God has given me this beautiful trust that he's not finished yet. And no matter what, I'm home in this beautiful church. I thank you and Relevant Radio and, you know, just listening. And I think at one point God was just showing me, just remain humble, humble your heart and listen to me and then obey. And I'll take care of the rest. So thank you, Patrick.
The best advice. You you're welcome, Cynthia. That's the best advice anyone can give, what you just said right there. Well, I'm so happy for you. I'm delighted to hear that the journey was successful in your home. And I have a feeling that in due time, your husband will make the journey as well and join you in the Catholic Church. I can only imagine how delighted and happy your children are. Mm-hmm. Your son-in-law, for example. Let me offer you... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Could I just ask you one question about that?
Sure.
So right now, and when I tell you, I am so fully Catholic. Like, they're, even the pastor gave me this huge book to read, and it was just mm-hmm. like the straw man arguments, you know, from two Protestants. And, you know, it's like, I know that I'm not going to be dissuaded from mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. So I do go with my husband just to support him on Sunday mornings, but I go, but he comes with me to the 12 o'clock mass every Sunday as well. It's sometimes it's a little torturous, I have to be honest, to be there mm-hmm. with the rock band and the, you know, the kind yeah. of atmosphere that it is. But
is it the church of what's happening now? Is it one of those churches?
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, they're very strong in the gospel. Don't get me wrong. It is good biblical teaching to a point. But now yeah. that I know, you know, I'm in the, you know, I know, so I've learned so much about Catholic teaching, and the scriptures have come alive for me because of, you know, scripture and tradition. You know, it's right. just now, but it's just like, oh, this is not worship. And I cringe, and I'm trying to support him. But do you think that's healthy? I mean, I'm doing it. It's great because I just go and, okay, it gives us points of discussion. He, like I said, he comes to Mass with me. I try to go to daily Mass as well. So
right.
I'm reading.
So are you wondering,
yes.
pardon my interruption, are you wondering if it's healthy for you, if I understand you correctly, to go to yes. his church on Sunday as well? Is that what you mean?
Correct.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think if I were in your position, I would try to wean yourself off that as best you can. And that's probably a delicate situation because you don't want him to feel like you're just slamming a door or anything like that. Sure. But if over time you were to withdraw from that, I think in the long run it would be helpful to you for this reason. Not that I in any way question your, you know, your dedication, your commitment, your love for Jesus, and your newfound love for the church and the sacraments, which is wonderful. But as the old saying goes, you are what you eat. And in subtle ways, sometimes people, without realizing it, can be imbibing false teaching that might be taught very persuasively, you know, very attractively. This is one of the things that Protestant ministers, generally speaking, have an edge on, and that is, you know, preaching. So my concern would be that over time, your Catholic faith could be eroded slightly, or maybe it could be influenced in ways that are not good due to some of the biblical errors that are present in that church, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So long run, if you could gradually withdraw from that, I would see that as an ideal situation. But naturally, it's going to be something you'll have to gauge on a time-by-time basis. Cynthia, I do have to take a break, but if I may, I'd like to recommend a resource to you now that you are in the church, okay? If you have a pen, I would jot this down. It's a book. I think you'll really okay. resonate with it. It's called Junia, J-U-N-I-A, The Fictional mm-hmm. Life and Death of an Early Christian. And the author is Michael Geisler, G-I-E-S-L-E-R. Now, this book is set in the early church. So this is like in the second, third century during the time of Roman persecution. And the thing that makes this book so perfect, I think, for you is that there's this young girl. As I recall, she's a teenager. She might be about 15 years of age, somewhere right in there. She's a pagan. She lives in pagan Rome. Her family is pagan. And she comes across the gospel. And the early Christians are preaching about Jesus to her, and she winds up becoming a Christian. She's baptized. She's received into the church, much to her family's horror and opposition. And I'll leave it at that. I don't want to give anything else away, but it's a delightful book, and I have a feeling that you yourself will be able to relate to what she goes through because sounds like you went through some of the same things. So again, Junia, J-U-N-I-A. Cyrus will get a link to it posted on the show Twitter feed so you can read it. But it's a beautiful story and very edifying. Thank you. I'll be right back.
Get connected to the conversation, call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
All right, we are back. I have a note here. Let's see, where did it go? This is from Brian, who's listening in Boston. He says, there was a document you mentioned about along the lines of introducing Jesus to others, and you mentioned it's being distributed in a certain diocese. I was trying to remember the diocese so that I could look up the document. Can you help me out? Yes, I can. I was referring to the Diocese of Green Bay, and there's a pastoral letter that came out from the bishop, Bishop Ricken. It's called Encountering Jesus in the Eucharist, and it is a PDF document that's available online. And I received a copy, kind of a bound copy, in the form of like a large booklet, I guess. But it's very good, very comprehensive. Let me see how many pages it is. It runs to about 46, 47 pages. And it's available for free. Anybody who wants it, it's at the diocesan website. And their website in the Diocese of Green Bay is gbdioc.org. GB, standing for Green Bay, gbdioc.org. When you get there, you'll see on the homepage a big graphic for this. You'll see Bishop Ricken holding a host, distributing Holy Communion, and it says, Encountering Jesus in the Eucharist, Disciples Call to Worship. To the left of that, there is a blue button that says, Click here for more. When you click that button, you can access this as a PDF document. It's all there. And so if you want to save it to your phone or save it to your computer, I suppose there may be printed versions of it available. You could contact the diocese to see about that. But if you want it free and quick and right away, you can get it on the diocesan website. Again, gbdioc.org, and it's called Encountering Jesus in the Eucharist, Disciples Called to Worship. Thank you. Let's go now to Neil in Minnesota. Hi, Neil.
Hey, Patrick. Thanks for taking the call. I have a couple quick questions, if that's okay.
Okay.
My first one being, when you have like a mental prayer, like a prayer you say in your head, do you need to do the sign of the cross?
No. I mean, it's always good when you make the sign of the cross because it drives away the devil and it's a reminder to you of your salvation and victory in Jesus. But it's not required to pray. You could pray anytime, anywhere, however you want, and not make the sign of the cross. So it's not, you know, it's not like God won't hear your prayer. Uh-oh, sorry, I can't hear that prayer because you didn't make the sign of the cross. It's not like that.
Right.
But it's a good thing to do it if you can. But if you're, let's say you're lying in bed at night and your mind turns to prayer and you start praying and talking to God, you don't have to make the sign of the cross. You can if you want to, but you don't have to.
Excellent. Yeah, most of the time I pray is in the car when you guys remind me. So it's taking my hands off the wheel isn't a great idea.
Yeah.
Second question real quick. When you go to confession and you confess your sins and you forget to mention a sin that's been on your heart, is it still forgiven or do you need to go back and ask for forgiveness?
Yes and yes. So you are forgiven. So if it's an honest omission and you just didn't remember it and then a week later, a month later, whatever, you remember it, your confession that you went to most recently that you forgot to mention it is a completely valid confession and you've been absolved of your sins, you are forgiven, and all of the above. So the second yes is that once you remember it, if it's a serious sin, if it's a venial sin, you're not obliged to confess it in any case. It's good if you do, but you're not obliged to. But if it's a mortal sin that you just honestly didn't remember, then the next time you go to confession, be sure to mention it. But it's not; it doesn't impinge upon the good confession that you made the last time around.
Awesome. Well, thank you. God bless all of you guys for everything you do. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Neil. Nice talking to you. How about Craig now in Davidson, Michigan? Good morning, Craig.
Morning, Patrick. My question is, earlier you were talking about baptism with a gentleman.
Yes.
And, of course, full correct way, Jesus Christ said, I baptize you in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When I look through the Acts of the Apostles, I see it where it says baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't think I've ever seen in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Why would that be?
Yeah, it is an anomaly because, as you say, so take Acts chapter 2, for example, which I quoted earlier in the show today, when St. Peter, after preaching on the day of Pentecost, is asked by the people listening to him, okay, what do we do now? He says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So you are correct that in the instances where we're told the way in which people were baptized, we only see baptism in the name of Jesus only. But we also have to contend with the fact that when Jesus himself gave the Great Commission, he told them to baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the church's statement or position, I guess you would say, on this is that in the early era, in the time of the apostles, it was people were baptized in both ways. And probably in Jesus only, even still into the second century. But we have very early records about how the sacraments were administered. And what we can see is that rather early on, the church moved in the direction of only baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So both forms were valid initially. And then when the church said, from now on, we will only baptize in the name of the Trinity, at that point, that became the only valid formula. Do you see? This is why you see it in the Bible both ways. But by the time you move a little bit forward in the early church, the church restricted it to just the Trinitarian formula.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I have been listening to you for 9 years now.
Thank you. And you're still listening. Thank you.
Oh, yes. I try every day to listen all day long. My son got out of the Marines and went into the oil fields, and he got transferred to Wyoming. And it just so happens I had the wife and I had to haul his stuff across the states there. And he had a new truck, and he wanted me to go in and take a ride with him. And he had your station on it. So from that point on, I have been listening to it, and I don't say things that are, oh, this is a coincidence, because there was a reason why that you were on at that time. Because when I got back home and went into our parish library, I was just coming across, and I'll be darned, there's three books of Patrick Madrid there.
Well, that makes me happy. I'm glad.
I pulled out the one which I read, and forgive me because I can never remember names and all that, but it was the one where you had different people who had converted and told their stories. And one lady in there questioned her pastors, and she kept going back and forth and asking a question, and he would not answer it, so she would dig deeper. And I probably learned more from this lady than anything else, other than, of course, listening to you.
That's beautiful. Well, I don't know which of the surprise is probably a Surprised by Truth volume, I'm guessing. And the first
that
one
sounds familiar.
Okay. So if this was 9 years ago, the cover of that book at that time was purple. So if that rings a bell, it might have been that book. But the subsequent book had a yellow cover, and the third volume had a kind of an orange cover. So it could have been any one of them. But it makes me happy to know that the book was helpful to you and that it helped you kind of complete your journey of faith. What a beautiful thing.
Well, it just so happened it was at a time when I had to leave my work because of medical reasons, and I had fallen, you know, I was going to church and and that, but I call it like going to church on cruise control.
I was going I think that probably describes a lot of people, and maybe some listening right now, but Perhaps God is about to change that for them the way he changed it for you. Well, Craig, thank you. I'm just about at the end of the show, so thanks for that. It makes me really happy to know that 9 years ago, God changed your life the way he did, and that Catholic Radio could be part of that was all the more so exciting. Thank you. Let's go to Esteban now in Dallas. Good morning, Esteban.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Short on time, but I'm doing well.
I just have a question. Thank you for answering the call.
Sure.
About the AA programs. I just I was trying to look it up on Google, but didn't find an answer to see if it's approved by the Catholic Church or if it's okay to.
Yeah. So AA, Alcoholics Anonymous?
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's like in any official sense approved by the Catholic Church, but you know, it's seen as something really good by many Catholics, priests and bishops and others. It's a good program. And so you can even find AA groups meeting at Catholic parishes all around the country. So if you're thinking about checking in with one, I would recommend it.
Okay.
All right. I wish I had more time, but yeah, I would say that. I'm looking at the clock. Larry in Nisita, Wisconsin, if you can hit me in 10 seconds, I'll do my best to give you a quick answer.
Okay, Patrick, in the Christmas season ends today in the Novus Ordo, but in the Tridentine Mass, they have a different calendar. Does it end today also?
Okay, the liturgical calendar is different, as you say, and the... I had a feeling this might happen. The Christmas season, I'm not going to be able to answer that question. I apologize. I just don't have enough time to open my Tridentine calendar. My apologies, Larry. Could you call me tomorrow? And I'll make a point of bumping you to the top of the list when you call in. Thank you. Until tomorrow, I'll pray for you. Please pray for me. God bless you.